Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
How is this a staple of our national energy policy? How is this a staple of right now what we learned yesterday from Obama's climate speech, the climate policy? This is the question of the film, and the answer is there. We see that the gas industry has ways of influencing every level of government.
But well, that's your point. Now, the counterpoint comes in your movie from the gas company's mascot, Talisman Terry, the friendly Fracosaurus.
Right. Right.
Now, I don't know who you're asking me to believe, but he is, no offense, a lot cuter than you, the Fracosaurus.
Well, you know, he's also drilling into his own ancestors' remains.
He is doing that. Don't focus
the point
on that.
Is
that's
that
not the friendly part of the Fracosaurus. No, he's dribbling. But if he did, it's so nice.
What we're seeing the natural gas industry do is try to say, oh, we're not a fossil fuel. We're friendly. We burn cleaner than coal. Well, it turns out this is not true at all. Actually, that part is true. It's like the witches in Macbeth. The witches say to Macbeth, oh, you're going to be the king. And they leave out the part about how, you know, you're going to have to kill all your friends. Your wife's going to go crazy and commit suicide. You're going to be dead in 3 days. They leave that part out.
Yeah.
But with this, they say we burn cleaner than coal. And that's true, 50% cleaner. But methane is 105 times, methane, natural gas, 105 times more potent in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. And they're leaking huge clouds of methane off of these well sites. It's leaking in the distribution systems. And any more than 1% leakage means that natural gas development is worse than coal for the climate. And what we're seeing here yesterday is that the president, we know he's met with the natural gas industry many, many times.
Oh, yes.
He please meet with the families in the film? Will he please meet with the scientists and engineers who are coming forward and say, look, the engineering of these wells is fatally flawed. We know that they're going to contaminate aquifers. We know there's no way to fix them. But we also know that methane leakage right now is also unfixable at the levels we're seeing it, 7 to 17% leakage in the field. That means that it's worse than coal. We would like the president to meet with these scientists, to meet with these families in the film.
Do those families have millions of dollars in campaign money?
No.
Well, that might be your problem then.
No.
Because
yeah, they don't. That's part of the issue.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection. Here he is, Mike Novak.
See, because when he walks across the intersection, it's a green light, and then there's a red light, and, you know, if he's green, then it's really bad when you got to explain the jokes. Because some of the team doesn't actually understand the jokes. They don't get the jokes at the top of the show.
You mean from the pre-recorded part?
Yes. It's okay.
I'm usually logging on to Facebook.
So what you're saying is you really don't really pay any attention to what's going on
in
this show.
No, I listen to the total beginning part.
When you, on the Sundays that you do happen to show up.
Oh, no, I told you I need to take a couple weeks off in the summertime.
I know.
I'm speaking in public so much. Last week was...
Yeah,
I
tell
spoke
me.
In public
That's
every...
Lisa Albrecht.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm back.
She's back.
I missed you.
We missed you. And, okay, I couldn't help but notice.
Yes.
You've got your bikini on, right?
I do.
Okay. Just say it.
And other street clothes.
I have to tell you something, because this is, I don't even think I know any people in my life, any women in my life who actually wear bikinis, okay, anymore.
Well, I'm trying to pretend that I'm 20-something.
Well, that's okay.
Because I hang out with these 30-something volleyball players who also are trying to pretend that we're 20-somethings.
Well, yeah. I'm impressed.
Well, because we play twos down at North Avenue Beach, so
I know,
you know
she,
part of the
she goes out of here
of
she, and she stays healthy. She goes plays volleyball all day, gets burned to a crisp.
So
in the
last
sun.
Week I took off because I thought I was going to play the whole day, but the wind was so high. I need to talk to Rick DeMille before I decide which days I'm taking
off. We can blame him. He'll be out at 9:45.
I'll check my weekends off with his weather forecast.
But you said you've been doing a lot of speaking, and actually that sort of plays into what we're talking about on today's show, too.
Yes.
So where have you been doing your talks?
Well, I did. I was over at the Bradley Preston Center in Uptown, and I spoke I actually spoke to the Master Gardeners meeting. What a great crowd.
Yeah.
Wow. No wonder
did they
guys
love you?
I loved them. I'm not sure if they loved me. They applauded three times, though. It was a little embarrassing.
Cool.
They were fantastic. And the questions and the passion, you know, I feel a little bad.
And Sarah Batka is not even here today because this is her day off.
She does such
a great job.
She does a great job organizing.
Yes, she does.
The amount of information that she pulls together
to
for people. Yes, she is.
And I got a feeling she tweeted this morning because Cook County Extension, unless that was Ron Wolford, because I know we got a tweet from Ron Wolford. You know, it's so fun sitting here, and I kind of glance over at the Twitter machine. Yeah, and all the stuff, the anticipation of the show and people tweeting and saying, hey, the show's about to start.
Well, and I was texting you last week. I should tweet you.
Well, you did text me when I did the roll call, Mouseketeer roll call. Count off now!
And
Rob!
I was laughing hysterically.
Rob!
Hey, Rob's here.
Hey.
There he is. I shouldn't have to say it twice, dude. Carol!
I am here.
Good morning.
Lisa!
I'm here.
And she did that last week. She said, she texted me and said, I'm here! Except I didn't see the text. And by the way, have you seen what I'm holding?
Hey, look at you with the new phone. Fancy, fancy.
I broke down and got a new smartphone.
We're twins.
I
have a Samsung. I have a Galaxy 3.
I have a 4.
Oh, fancy pants.
This is a Galaxy S4, and I have no idea how it works.
Oh, I can help. It took me a little while to break in my 3 because I went from a flip phone, you know, practically.
But first, let me ask you if you had this problem, and maybe one of our listeners knows. Using their email, when it pops up on here, it disappears. When it pops up on my computer, it seems to suck it off of the phone. So it will be up on the phone for 5 minutes and then disappear, my email. You didn't have that problem.
No, I do not have that problem.
That's okay. Not good.
No, that's not.
Definitely not good.
Well, and actually I called the staff at Credo because I have Credo.
Oh, your Credo phone.
Oh, yeah. They're a great company. If you don't know about Credo, you might hear about them on Norman Goldman's show. I've been with Credo for like 20 years.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
And a percentage of everything they take in goes to progressive causes, and that's why I love them so much. They're just awesome.
I'm on their newsletter list, and I love the action alerts that they send.
And actually, the carrier is Sprint, and they contract with Sprint. But, you know, the money goes to Credo. And Credo is the only phone company that did not sell its list to the government back in the Bush days when all of those phone records were turned over. My phone company did not. That's why I love Credo. And if you're going to join Credo because I mentioned it on the show, write me so I can get credit for it.
And that's C-R-E-E-D-O.
No, just one E. C-R-E-D-O.
C-R-E-D-O.
Credo. So I got my new phone, and I've spent way too much time in the past 3 days
playing with it,
trying to figure out how it works. I got most of it. I mean, it is pretty cool, but there's still a lot that I can't figure out. You know, the whole contacts and whether they go into your Google email or they go into the phone or they, I mean, I've got two Google accounts and so half of the contacts show up and the other half don't. And yet they're in the phone someplace.
I told you to stop picking from my email because it just, please. I just wanted the phone numbers that I have. I don't need any help. I will put someone in my phone. You can tell it to stop doing that.
So,
anyway, we have a big show today.
We do. And I want to thank all the people who've tweeted. I mean, Tom N is out there, and Manure T, Annie Havens out there in California. You know, we talked about being all over the country last week, and I got a message from my friends in New Mexico, and I got a couple from New Jersey. And it's great. Just folks who tune in on Sunday morning, thank you so much. Please, you're welcome to call 773-763-9278. You're welcome to tweet Mike Now. It's at Mike Now if you're not a Twitter. And we're teaching Carol the Twitter machine today. How exciting is that, huh, Carol?
Yeah, that is very exciting. If I can handle it, it'll be good.
You can handle anything. Rob in the booth. Let's see. And Ron Wolford tweeted this morning and Jennifer Brennan, who's going to be on the show. In fact, let's get her on the phone with Dr. Wally. Oh, my goodness. They're already there. Rob, you're so efficient. Snappy J Dog is going to show up during the show with my CSA share from Purple Leaf Farms. I'm so excited about that. We're going to see what kind of veggies I have for the next week. So on the show, as I mentioned, Jennifer Brennan and Dr. Wally are both going to be here in a second. Summer insects and diseases. This is the time of year. There you go. And then Rick DeMille weather, 9:45. Second hour, this is where Lisa jumps into the conversation and all that speaking she's been doing the Climate Reality Project and the training's about to start with that coming up soon.
Very soon.
Are you going to be involved in that or do you?
Yes, I will be back in the room.
Wow. Okay, cool. And Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force will be here with Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council. They are doing, Tom and the SETF is doing the Energy Solutions Eco Tour next Saturday, which Lisa is going to be
a speaker on.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So is Josh Mogerman from NRDC.
You know, I'm really excited about that. I know we're going to talk about it later, but we are going to get to go to a coal plant that's been shut down. We're going to see energy, clean, dirty, all of it.
I know it is. You know,
if you want to learn about energy, get on this tour.
And they have. We're going to do two things. We're going to give away two tickets today. All right.
Oh yeah.
So let's make sure we do that. We come up with. Some kind of question where we can give away ticks. I bet you could come up with an energy question, Lisa. I mean, just you could probably pull one out of your the talk that you do. Just some fact that you thought I was going someplace bad with that. Just pull it out of never
mind. All right, I'll come up with a question.
And we'll give away a couple of ticks to the. Energy Solutions Eco Tour on the south side of Chicago next week, courtesy of the Southeast Environmental Task Force. And then Kathy McGlynn will be here. She's so funny. I love her because she's always writing me. She says, do you have some time to talk about invasives that are taking over our world? Kathy, for you, anything. There's a thing called hydrilla. Have you never heard of hydrilla? Well, it's going to become the latest, greatest invasive plant.
Well, and listeners need to go to MikeNovak.net to check out the pictures because you've got some pretty shocking pictures and then some links to, you know, we invasives we have to stay on top of because you can't
catch up. I know, and it's true. Go to MikeNovak.net, this week's show, and you will see back-to-back pictures taken 18 days apart and how invasive this plant is. And if that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, I don't know what will.
18 days.
18 days. Go look right now and you're going to go, oh, my God. And guess what? It's about to hit Illinois. Yay!
Awesome.
Illinois.
I don't think there's any electric fence for that one.
No, there isn't. Zan Nelson tweeted she didn't want to be left out. She's jumping up and down. Me too. Over in the back. And she's making crackers this morning. Bring some of those over here. All right. So that's how we start. Let's go to the phones.
right now and bring in the lovely, the vivacious, the omnipresent Jennifer Brennan. How are you, Jennifer?
Hey, I am doing great, just great. I've had a great morning because I have a day off, and I've actually been out in my own garden this morning, so it's really been fun.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's the cobbler's children have no shoes.
It's almost that bad, but my garden looks really good. Really good.
Oh, great. Well, you know, it's been a good...
Peonies are phenomenal.
Peonies?
My zucchinis.
Oh, zucchini. I thought peonies are done. All right, zucchini.
No, my zucchinis. I'm harvesting them every day.
Are you really? How'd you get them so fast?
Well, because I started them inside with my wonderful light, my three-tiered light stand.
All right, you did.
Yeah, and it's the little mini ones that came from Renee's garden seeds. It's the Ostia ones. And, oh, my gosh, they produced flowers in the seed trays. It was so much fun. It's been so rewarding.
By the way, in case you didn't know, Jennifer Brennan is the horticulture information specialist at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. She's also my partner on Dig In Chicago. And if Ron Cowgill is listening right now, he's going, oh, my God, that voice, there's so much sugar in it. What do we do? And he'll
Good morning, Ron. Good morning, Ron. I hope you're listening.
He'll be scooping up the sugar outside his radio speaker. All right, let's also bring in, I almost grabbed the wrong line. Here we go. Dr. Wally from Bertholdt's Garden Center. Hey, Wally, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, Wally.
Howdy. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Rob. How's everybody?
Good morning, Wally. Happy to hear you.
It's great to have you on. And here we are. We're kind of, this is sort of, you know, everybody got up rolling and now we're sort of in maintaining mode, maintaining our gardens for the summer. But as it's been a wet spring and that's, you know, Jennifer says her yard looks great. How does yours look, Wally?
It looks real, real nice. Everything is nice and healthy looking. I've been very blessed with a lack of diseases. That's a little bit better than I can say about some of my customers over here. You know, we're with this humidity up and down and the cool evenings and stuff, getting a few things happening here.
Yeah,
okay. It's been a fun pathological year, hasn't it, Wally?
sure.
I mean, I'm seeing things I haven't seen in about 15 years.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Amazing.
Let's explain why we're seeing that. As Wally said, we have had lots of rain, cool temperatures. But Jennifer, as you point out, we've also had warm temperatures and the fluctuation causes some problems, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, when a lot of these diseases are so geared to temperature and so what I'm seeing apple stem, which is usually a cool season disease on crab apples and any apple family of plants, and then also rust, which usually doesn't come until we get warm temperatures. And because we've been fluctuating back and forth and back and forth, like yesterday, I had six people bring in samples of apple family of plants, crab apples and like edible apples, just loaded with both apple scab and with rust.
Okay, let's stop right there and explain because
I was just about to pop in.
Because people might not know, like Lisa, what apple scab is. What exactly is that, Jennifer?
It's a disease, a fungal disease that gets into the leaves and can get on the fruit of any of the plants in the apple family. And it inoculates the baby leaves and or the baby fruit when temperatures are between 65 and 70 and when the surfaces of those parts of the plants are wet for 4 hours or more. The fungus gets in, grows, and then manifests or appears as spots 6 to 8 weeks later. So they started spotting up about 10 days ago, and that's when people notice them. And then they bring them in, and what's wrong? And then we explain, well, the best way to protect is to spray them as when they're baby leaves and baby plants. You can spray with like earth-friendly fungicides and or chemical fungicides and prevent secondary reinfection, because right now they're making more spores and we're still getting a lot of new growth, so you can get secondary reinfection. So sometimes it's worth protecting.
Yeah, and you should know that, and this is from the Morton Arboretum, apple scab mainly affects members of the rose family, including nearly all commercial cultivars of apple, crabapple, hawthorn, mountain ash, Cotone aster, firethorn, and common pear. So all of those...
I was just about to ask about common pear. Liz, my best friend, who's been on the air with Treehouse, she has pears, and I've noticed some similar issues to the pictures that are on MikeNovak.net.
So do you think that...
I'm wondering if it's the same
if they
thing.
Have apple
I was gonna
scab.
Ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Wally, are you're seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of that. And, you know, earlier in the season, we started popping up with a lot of folks with junipers having the cedar apple rust.
Wasn't that cool? I mean, it's just so gooey.
Jennifer, you are so cute.
It's orange, gooey stuff. And
it's just like some out of outer space, isn't it, Jennifer? It's just
you understand where, you know, like Ghostbusters, you know, got their slime thing. All you have to do is look at rust on, you know, on a juniper or, you know, eastern red cedar.
All right, and we're going to stop right there, too, because I can see in Lisa's eyes that she doesn't know what rust is either. Now, we know what rust is on a nail. We know what rust is on metal, but it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Because I know some of you might have actually seen rust on your lawn. You know, you can see that the coppery sort of substance. Explain what rust is. Who wants to take this one?
I'll take it because it's really interesting, because on you know, cedar apple, cedar hawthorn, cedar quince rust, you even hear those two names. It's a fungal disease that is what we call a dual host. So it takes two different kinds of plants for the disease to get through its life cycle. So that's why you hear cedar, hawthorn, cedar, apple, cedar rust. And so in early in the spring, like Wally was saying, the sporulation occurs on the eastern red cedar or the juniper plants, and you get these orange finger like things that grow out of the gall that's on the branches of the eastern red cedar.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there, because, and I just want to make sure everybody's listening understands this, is that when there's a gall, it's a growth on the plant, and
exactly.
And as you say, what happens with this particular disease, it needs two different species to go through its life cycle. So it starts...
Two genera.
Oh, my goodness.
Two different genera.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Not species, but genera. So different plants all together, and it starts on one, and then it moves on to the second plant. And in this, you know, and in this case, you were talking about the growth on the...
On the junipers,
and then it goes off to where?
And then what happens is that gooey growth, you know, it releases spore, and it's like almost like a powder, and it spreads with water and wind, and then it lands on the other host. So whether it's an apple or a hawthorn or a pear, then that inoculates that, and then it goes through the life cycle on that plant and then produces different types of spore that go back to inoculate the juniper again, or the eastern red cedar. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you're Jennifer Brennan.
It's fascinating.
It actually is. It's kind of interesting that you would have this disease that needs these different host plants, as you said, in different genera to complete its life cycle. Wally, have you been seeing that as well?
Yes. Yeah. One thing to point out too, you may not necessarily have a juniper that's affected in your yard. It could be almost as far as a football stadium away from you, one of your neighbors or whatever. It travels. And I think there's an old song by Neil Young, Rust Never Sleeps, or an album. And if you do see it somewhere, in your backyard or your neighbor possibly, it will travel. And like I say, a lot of times your crab apple trees will look real, real beautiful in the spring, and by the time the end of the season comes on, they're pretty run down and the leaves are dropping, orange spotted, et cetera. You know, the disease kind of appears almost very on the apple trees will look almost like apple scab in a way. Little slight variations, but pretty similar.
It's usually orange. If it's rust, it's orange and yellow, and apple scab is yellow and brown.
All right.
So,
now,
when you see both, you can see both on the same leaves right now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Really?
And they're resistant varieties, and then the way to control it is that you only have to spray or protect one host, because if you protect one host, then it stops the whole life cycle. So most often we have people will protect their crab apples, their apples and the pears, and they're the easier ones to control.
Now, one of the things you can do to control this is hygiene. It's cleanliness. It's, cleaning up after your tree has this, get rid of those leaves that have been infected. And keep the area as clean as possible. Even then, you know, there's a chance that you won't be able to do it, but that's certainly going to help, isn't it?
That's very true.
It'll help. And if you do a spraying program, you got to kind of adhere to the instructions and, do it at regular intervals.
Okay.
You start early.
Or use a systemic. If you use a systemic, then it doesn't wash off in the rain. And this year, a systemic would have been really helpful because we've had so much rain.
Right.
Jennifer, you mentioned to me that some of the controls are like Bonide Orchard Spray with sulfur and pyrethrins.
Yes.
Or the Espoma or Bonide Copper Soap Spray.
Absolutely.
Immunox by Spectracide. Is that, now these are all natural and earth-friendly, right?
Right, and the Immunox was actually cleared for use on fruit and vegetable crops 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been very beneficial for people this year because they haven't had to run out and respray every time it rains. So people are really appreciating that advantage.
Yeah, and just mention that because Bonide's a great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. But they have a lot of garden naturals that you can take advantage of. Go to their website, bonide.com, and you just click on garden naturals and you can go through the list. And if you go to mikenovak.net, you can see the advice that Jennifer has given with some of the products that you might want to use. And then you compare, you see what you have and what you think you need. I have to tell you one thing. And you know how important this is, both of you. And Wally, perhaps you want to comment on this, but I say always read and follow label directions. And I'm not going to even look at you, Carol, when I say that. But that's really, really important, even with, even with organic products, because just because it's organic doesn't mean it's not toxic. Right, Wally?
Yeah, that's correct. And just follow those instructions and follow precautions. Organic is good, but follow the instructions. It's very important and just adhere to that. More is not better when you're working with volume on that stuff. That's the manufacturer has specifications, and you should adhere to them.
Either of you got any horror stories about overuse of this kind of stuff?
Oh, well, yeah, but that's another show. So,
I'd
rather protect the innocent. Hey, Mike, I discovered a new one from Bonide that I didn't realize was out there. It's their garden dust, and it's got not only the sulfur and the pyrethrin, which is an organically derived pyrethrin. It's got copper in it, too, and it's dyed green. So when you puff it out of the puffer bottle, it's a talc base. And it adheres to the underneath sides of the plants and the above leaves, and it stays on even if it gets rained on, and it's totally earth friendly, and it's the coolest thing. I just discovered it yesterday. I didn't know it had copper in it.
Which
too.
Product was it?
And what's it called?
It's the Bonide Garden Dust, and you just take the lid off and you just puff it, and the dust, because it's talc-based, you know, it gets a negative charge to those particles, mm-hmm. and they adhere to the above sides of the leaf and the lower leaves, and it prevents insects, it prevents diseases, and the sulfur kills mites. It's the coolest thing. And so use it at night, you know, when the pollinators are back at their hives, and then, you know, and then, you know, and then, and then, you know, when they come back the next day, it's not going to kill them.
Well, and of course, we have to be careful about that as well, because that, again, that's why you read and follow label directions if you want to use this. Now, sometimes what I tell people in terms of rust, there's a pruning technique that you can use to get rid of rust on your tree. One cut right at the base, bzz, and you're done. And
yeah.
I stole that from, I can't remember his last name.
Well, Jim Fizell talks like that.
No, not Fizell. Was, and I'm not going to remember, but I took his course, and he used to always say, one cut, bzz, and you're done. And the point I'm making is that there are a lot of varieties of crab apples right now that are disease resistant. I have a prairie fire in my backyard. It never gets anything. It's just so clean and neat, never gets disease. I don't worry about apple scab. I don't worry about any of that stuff. And, you know, a lot of people have had the same crab tree in their yard for generations. And, you know, they're attached to it because grandma planted that thing. And I just say, well, you know, grandma had bad taste in crab apples. And,
or that was the only one that was available.
Yeah, it was the only one available at that time. Mm-hmm. And now they grow so fast that if you cut down a crab that gets apple scab every year, and you replace it this year, in 5 years, you will wonder what took you so long, because it will grow so fast and you will be so happy with it, and that you will not be trying to deal with apple scab every year. That's my opinion. And, you know, I could be wrong. All right.
No, that's one of the best things. Always use, you know, disease resistant varieties.
All right. Hold on. I want to whip through some other things. I have to whip through some business here. Hang on. We're talking to Jennifer Brennan from Chalet. We're talking to Dr. Wally Schmidtke from Bertolt's Garden Center. If you have a quick question, give us a holler, 773-763-9278. I know we want to get to a couple of other things, including some of the insects that are out there, and because we're going to be seeing them on our vegetables.
Also cool.
Which Jennifer loves. Everything's cool. So we will get back to them. Oh, it's the Chicagoland Gardening Magazine Pop Quiz. Bet you didn't see that coming, did you? Okay, get out your blue books and answer this question. What do anemone, ranunculus, crocosmia, gladiolus, caladium, and canna have in common? I'll bet Jennifer and Wally know the answer to that.
I know.
All right, well, I'm not going to. That's cheating.
I'll be quiet.
All right. All right. Anyway, time's up. What do they have in common, Jennifer?
Oh, they're all tuberous plants or both.
There you go. She's good. They're all considered also tender bulbs, and not just because they always cry when they watch It's a Wonderful Life. While tender bulbs can put on a spectacular show in summer, they must be lifted in the fall and transplanted in the spring. The July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine has a story about these beauties and how to take care of them. There's also an article about my buddy, Doug Wood, the hardworking genius behind a lot of what goes on in the Wicker Park Garden Club. He's a guy who found his way to gardening via molecular biology and choreography. Don't look at me like that. Just read the story. Then there's my column on the inside back page. I'm the kind of guy who cries while he's writing his own words. And with good reason. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As we discussed on the show a couple of weeks ago, oak wilt and Dutch elm disease are serious vascular diseases. Oak wilt is especially devastating to the red oak group. Oak wilt is transmitted from diseased to healthy trees by two methods, through root grafts and by insects carrying spores to fresh pruning cuts. While most of the disease spread is caused by root grafts, it's important to use proper pruning techniques to protect your oaks. For instance, avoid pruning oaks and elms during late spring and early summer. Fresh cuts are considered attractive to insects that may carry fungal spores. If you're uncertain about pruning your own trees, talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466 for a free, and I said free, consultation. If you call on Sunday today, leave a message and your call will be returned on Monday, guaranteed. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
It's worldwide. Esto aquí es para las mujeres en las discotecas que están buenísimas, bellísimas, lindísimas. Y ya tú sabes el resto. Yo se lo doy directo.
Mira que tú estás rica.
Yo quiero estar contigo.
Jennifer, you got to know this music is just for you because I know you love the music I play on the show.
I hope she's dancing.
I love this music, Mike. I love this music. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Wally, are you dancing too?
Man, I'll tell you.
That means no. Okay.
That was my assumption too.
All right. Let's get to a couple of things that we don't have a whole lot of time. I just want to make one comment. You solved the problem for me, Jennifer, because you sent me this information and I can't even pronounce this. What's the
insolubicidium. That is
insolubicidium
everywhere.
Well, guess what? My honeysuckle got it this year in my backyard.
Yeah.
It did not bloom, and I could not figure out why. I mean, I got all these buds. I went, oh, this is going to be great. My honeysuckle is going to rock this year. And nothing. I had like three or four blooms, and the rest of them just sort of, you know. And
yeah.
Explain what that fungus is.
Well, it's pretty common, and it's more common when we have, you know, cool and moist conditions. And we didn't see it very much the last two seasons because we were so hot and so dry and so warm so early. And so when we get warm early, like last year, then the disease isn't active. But this year it was prime conditions for it. And again, the spore attacks the young growth. And then it gets in and you'll see the tips all turn gray and crinkled.
Yep.
And it gets rid of the flowers and also, you know, the new leaves. So lots and lots of people are bringing lots and lots. That's probably one of my top samples I have coming in. That's one of the top. I see that at least 3 to 5 times a day.
Amazing. And that, and I wasn't even aware of it. And there we go. And my honeysuckle certainly got hit by it. And it's interesting because I really don't have much else in the yard. You also mentioned, excuse me, anthracnose has been a big deal. Wally, mm-hmm. Wally, you've seen a lot of that, haven't you?
Yes. That's been happening.
And which is irregular brown patches on leaves. You know, some people might not be able to tell the difference between rust and anthracnose, but how would they know the difference?
Well, anthracnose grows to the edges of, you know, like veins, so it tends to look more square and blocky, whereas the rust and the scab diseases are circular dots, you know, circular.
Okay.
And you know, and the anthracnose looks real boxy looking, you know. Molly, wouldn't you describe it as that too?
Yes, exactly. Blocky looking, kind of, yeah, towards the edges.
And then powdery mildew, of course, is happening. Peonies, roses, grapes, cucumber, squash.
Yeah, and it looks like it's been flocked. You know, it's like, powdery mildew would be great if we could use it at Christmas time. You know, because it just look, you know, if we could get it to grow on Christmas trees, it would look like they were flocked, you know, and that's what the plants are looking like when they brought them. And we've had perfect conditions where it even sheets. And that means that the mycelium grows up over the tips of the plants. And it even, I had a sample that came in, it grew up over the aphids that were on the plant. It was a cool.
Wait, that they brought into Chalet this year?
Yeah.
So it covered.
The chip was loaded with aphids, and then the powdery mildew started growing like crazy because we had temperatures that were warm, and then it dropped, and it was real moist that night. And it's what we call sheeting. And the mycelium just like grows up, you know, over it, and the aphids were trapped underneath it.
Yes, because they've got their proboscis stuck in the plant.
Yeah,
and they can't move, so the powdery mildew just grows right out. Ooh, that's kind of cool.
That's what makes my microscope so cool, because when it gets, you get it under the microscope and you see the mycelium growing up over, and you see the aphids, you know, wiggling underneath trying to get out from underneath it.
Okay,
it's really cool.
Now I know that Wally, you use the microscope over at Bertholdt's as well. Have you seen?
Yeah, I've got quite a little consortium, a little collection of different critters and diseases and stuff that I've been able to save up. And what's kind of neat about these microscopes is you can actually take a movie of the little critters and save them up. It's pretty interesting when a customer can actually view the problem right there on the screen of the computer. And, you know, you do diagnose the problem a lot very correctly. There's no question about what the problem is, and there's no guesswork. You know, if it's a white sticky thing, well, there could be a possibility that it could be a fungus, but then again, too, it could be mealybugs or something like that. So,
yeah,
you know, don't you love, Wally, how microscopes never lie? You know, I mean, you can ask questions and people say, "Oh, yeah, I watered," and you get the plant out of the microscope and it's just bone dry.
And
the cells are all, and you're like, "Ooh, that's not what the microscope's saying." You know, so it's pretty cool, and I just love the reaction of my customers, like, "Ooh." You know, or I always try to tell people, you know, as a scientist, we never say, "Oh, that is gross." We may think it, but instead we always say, "How interesting." Don't you say that, Wally?
It does. It does get some of the customers a little bit freaked out. I had a lady brought an apple leaves in from an eating apple, and they were so infested with black aphids and dark-colored aphids, and I actually have a little movie of a mama aphid kind of tending her little one that was just probably hatched out, cleaning it and tending to it while the other aphids are just, you know, working over the plant, you know.
customers aren't quite as appreciative of that as you and I.
No, I tell you, it really freaked the lady out. She says, "I can't watch that. You know, that's worse than,
Oh, man,
it's a monster movie."
You know, and Wally's been telling me about that one, and we got to get that on my website. I want that particular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
All right.
And like I say, it's the thing with aphids, too, is boy, when there's one or two of them, within a day or so, there's just mass amounts of them. The things are parenchyma carpic. You know, they oftentimes they're born pregnant. They just reproduce like crazy.
Yeah, they are. That's one of the things we discussed on the show a couple of weeks ago. They are indeed born pregnant. This is not a myth. This is true.
And they bear live youth. They don't have to lay eggs for the eggs to hatch, and that's really scary.
Yeah. So, but one thing I've noticed about aphids is that, Dan Costa from Vern Goers mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They tend to be more of a problem early in the season, and he mentioned because there's so much more new growth, and they love the new growth, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and then you don't see as many, you know, later. Boy, but what we have to warn people about now is the Japanese beetles have been spotted out at the Morton. And I've had a couple samples come in, and we're going to be inundated. Wally, have you seen Japanese beetles already?
I have just one report so far. It seems they're a little bit
Well, because of the season too, you know, it just depends. They're starting. They're coming out.
I thought they'd be much later because we're so cool, but yeah. You know, they're going to be here. So boy, be forewarned, everybody out there listening. Be forewarned.
All right, let's talk. Yeah, because people want to know the control of Japanese beetles, and they're again. If you want to be perfectly safe. Don't have plants in your yard that Japanese beetles like.
That's like roses.
Like roses, like lindens. They love linden trees. Now, assuming you already have that, you don't want to get rid of your roses. The second thought is to you get out there early in the day. They're insects. They are cool in the morning and sluggish, and you flip them into a bucket of soapy water. And kill them off that way. And one of the good things to do is don't let them start chowing down on your plants early because they send signals to their buddies to come and feast.
It's a hormone. They send out a hormone. When they get a good meal, they send this hormone out. It's like this beacon saying, come to this restaurant. It's like, you know, one of those night lights that flashes at night to show where a restaurant is.
Yeah.
That's what happens but it's all hormonal. It's all hormonal. So if you can prevent them from getting a good meal, it works well.
Yeah. And go ahead, Wally.
A point on that too is, you know, these beetle bags that have that hormone in them. I mean, you're going to collect a lot of beetles, and I'm sure it's going to catch them. And the problem is, it's going to draw them from all over the place into your yard.
Attract more than, you know, if you have one of those bags, give it to a neighbor across the street.
Right.
I always say,
get along with your neighbor.
Right. Give it to the neighbor with the barking dog. Just hang one of those in their yard, and
there you go.
All right. And then the only other thing I want to mention real quickly is cucumber beetles, because they're always a terrible problem for people growing vegetables.
Right.
Wally, have you seen any of those?
Just a few starting. Not a lot of those yet. So yeah. We're going to see as it stays warm.
You've seen more, Jennifer?
A little more consistently. Yeah. I think we're going to see more of those. But yeah. So far on my own plants and the plants here, it's been good. Knock on wood.
What about you, Jennifer?
I'm seeing a lot, and where I'm seeing a lot and hearing a lot of problems is, you know, where there's a high concentration of plants. So people at community gardens are really seeing them. And what happens is, you know, if there were eggs that were left over from last year, then they're hatching out early. And so we're seeing them on, you know, on the cucumbers and also the squash.
Well, then if they're left over from
garden dust, the garden dust really takes care of that.
All right. So the garden dust will handle it.
Bonide garden dust.
You also mentioned Captain Jack's dead bug brew.
That's a good one too. Mm-hmm.
With spinosad, yeah.
That garden dust works real nice, and I tell you something, you get real nice even coverage with that. That's a good product.
Isn't that cool?
It works nice.
In it.
And that's a bonide product, as we mentioned before, and it's just called garden dust.
Just called garden dust, and it takes care of bacteria, fungus, you know, insects and mites, you know, and you just puff it on and it's green, so you don't even notice it. It's pretty cool. And you can do it on fruit trees and flowers and vegetables and roses. I mean, it's a neat, neat product.
And always read and follow label directions. I'm going to say it again, please.
Mm-hmm.
I got to let you guys go because Rick DeMowney's coming here.
Wow, Rick's coming. Cool.
Yeah. You love everything, Jennifer. But I did want to ask one real quick question before we go. You mentioned that some community gardens have it because of the overwintering eggs. What does that mean about cleanup in the fall?
Oh, that means, you know, clean out all, you know, get rid of all the old foliage and stems and things like that. That's one of the most important things to prevent. You know, for preventing diseases and insects. If you clean it up really well and get rid of it.
You know, and I wonder, because we cleaned our garden really well last fall, and I'm knocking on wood here, we haven't had any problems yet. Would you agree, Wally?
I think that's a great, a very important thing. And also remember, too, if the plant is really inundated with a disease or an insect problem, maybe avoid that from the compost pile, unless your compost
Yeah.
While runs exceptionally hot where you could destroy those pathogens.
Really good point. All right.
Amen, amen.
That's Dr. Wally from Bertholdt's Garden Center. He's over there today. Go visit him. Jennifer's got the day off, but you can...
Yeah, but you can ask for Tony. Tony's at Chalet, and he's running the microscope.
And both places you can take your stuff in with a microscope. Hey, it's great having you on, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care,
thank
guys.
You, Mike. Bye, Jennifer.
Bye. Bye, Wally.
Bye-bye. This just in, begonias, lilies, white roses, juniper, and plenty more. That's right. Christy Weber's Farm and Garden Center has gotten hold of some of Christy Weber's landscaping's overstock. And these plants and shrubs are priced to move. Check out the beautiful Japanese maples or the oak leaf hydrangeas. These deals won't last long, so head over to the Farm and Garden Center today before they're snatched up. Don't forget that you can claim your City of Chicago sustainable backyard rebates right at the Farm and Garden Center sales counter. They're one of only a few stores in Chicago where you can get instant rebates on rain barrels, compost bins, trees, shrubs, and native plants. Stop by the Farm and Garden Center for complete details. Like them on Facebook to receive more updates and specials, or visit them on the web at ChristyWeber.com. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Yeah, a guy who's always under pressure is meteorologist Rick DeMaio, or as I see on the screen here, Ricardo Derecho. Is that your
Ricardo? Is that my political name, Mike?
I think that's your weather name. I think it's your meteorological name, Ricardo Derecho.
Oh, I like that. And by the way, when I'm done with your show here, I got to rush to Egypt. I'm number 23 on their list to be the next president. So we got to make this quick.
How did you get on number 23? I'm number 35.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Well, you know, Jennifer, with her lovely smile, could be probably number 15, right?
You know?
She could probably just go there and say, can we all just get along and plant some flowers, and then they're done. Yeah, this is how life used to be in Egypt, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. You know, listening to you guys talk about bugs while I rummage through my scrambled eggs is not a very nice thing to do, by the way.
Well, we're sorry about that, but it does happen.
Yeah, it does happen. Hey, Mike, listen, this time last year, okay, you remember how hot it was. Yeah. Not only was it hot, did we break a record last year, actually set a record of 103 on the 6th of July. The overnight low was 82. Think about that. The overnight low was 82. Yesterday we had a high of 83. And last year on that date, it actually bottomed out at 82. And not only was it the hottest afternoon high temperature for the 6th, but it was one of the warmest days ever in the history of Chicago. When you add up the overnight low and add up the afternoon high and divide it by two, it's pretty remarkable that this summer has only produced 2 days above 90. And by the end of next week or the end of this week coming up, we will have seen only 2 days of 90, because I don't think we're going to see 90 over the next couple of days. And last year we were up to number 27 with 4 days above 100. So it's still pretty remarkable how different last year is compared to this year, Mike.
It is. I'm going to tell you right now again, and I blame myself because I get sucked in by Jennifer and Wally when they start talking bugs and diseases. Can we
talk now and come back later? Is that it?
Yeah. So I was thinking,
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little more here, and then I'll get you right at the top of the hour for those who want the forecast and a little more, because I know that so many of my listeners need their Rick DeMaio fix. When I shortchange him, I hear about it. Okay,
it's like a second coup. I'm okay with it, Mike.
You're just sort of into this Egypt thing today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Face the Nation today. What can I tell you? But we could talk more next hour. Yeah, no.
But I'll be getting back quickly to that what happened last year. I'll be honest with you. I did not remember that we had those 100-degree days in a row.
Oh, yeah,
you know, I was amazed to see it.
And I think what was more impressive about it was the overnight lows, and that's usually the stuff that really is more of a killer than anything. And it's been amazing that we've been able to stay away from that this summer. Now, obviously, there's a lot of heat out west, but still, Mike, the pattern just does not want to get hot. It's not going to get hot around here.
Really? So now you mentioned that last week, and you're sticking to your guns, even with the oppressive heat out west.
Oh, yeah, because the way the jet stream pattern is set up is every time we try to get warm, you know, we get that now that you called me Ricardo Duratio, there's going to be a cluster of thunderstorms that will come through tonight into tomorrow and probably cool us down a little bit. Another one Monday night into Tuesday, that'll cool us down a little bit. So even though we don't need the rain, we're going to get more of it. Probably nothing in the way of any extreme flooding rain, but it seems that every time the pattern wants to get warm, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to be that's the way things are. Now, here's the key is whether or not we can keep this going through the balance of the month of August and balance of the month of July and into August. And I can give you more of my thoughts on that next hour. But I definitely think that over the next couple of days, there's a pretty good chance to rain late tonight and tomorrow. And obviously we had a little bit yesterday, only sprinkle activity. But it's amazing when you look at how the pattern is setting up both west, central, and east. It just doesn't want to budge from where we've been basically over the last almost 2 months, Mike.
Wow. That it's interesting how different the years are, and you know, some people are suffering, some people aren't, and as we mentioned, all this rain, lots of diseases on plants, and those things happen as well. All right,
I love those bug conversations. Those are the coolest.
All right,
Wally and Jennifer can get going. All right, yeah, we'll talk more next hour, Mike.
All right, Ricardo Duratio, he's hanging on. We'll get to the forecast after 10 o'clock and more on the weather, and we hope you will join us for that. In the meantime, oh my goodness, it smells great in here. I do believe that a CSA share has been delivered to the Mike Novak Show, courtesy of Purple Leaf Farms. And Snappy J Dog is right here in studio. And we will also talk to her about what she's got. And we also have the big tour coming up with Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force. So I hope you stick around and join us in the 10 o'clock hour.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak. Keep on turning, 'cause the world needs
love. Just jamming on a Sunday morning.
I miss Denny's air, whatever instrument he might be playing in a moment.
That's true. Well, we got to get Rob playing air instruments right there in the studio. It's always something. Thank you for joining us on a Sunday morning. I know there's a real good reason to be outside today. That's the problem with doing a show about the environment and gardening and that sort of thing, is that even on a Sunday morning, folks want to be outside.
Well, they can be. With Wi-Fi devices, you can just bring stuff outside.
Exactly.
We can talk to you about your problems. In fact, you can even call in.
That's right. 773-763-9278. We will get back to Natural Resources Defense Council, Josh Mogerman, Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force, of course, Lisa Albrecht, and we're going to be talking about the Energy Solutions Eco Tour, and we've got tickets to give away. Before we get back to Rick DeMille, though, and we've also got Snappy J Dog here in studio, and Snappy, you should come around to the center chair over there. I need to plug something that I'm doing. I got to talk tomorrow night.
Sweet.
At the Plainfield Public Library at 7 p.m. And I'm torn because HBO is premiering Gasland 2 tomorrow. Now, obviously, I probably shouldn't even say that because folks might want to stay home and watch that. But then there are some people who might come out to Plainfield to hear me speak at 7 p.m. at the Plainfield Public Library, 15025 South Illinois Street in Plainfield. I'm doing my world famous talk. I'm not really a garden expert. I just play one on the radio. And I sort of cover everything. And I hope that you will join me out that way, 7 p.m. tomorrow. This Saturday at 7 p.m., I'm going to be at the Midwest Regional Hosta Society Conference in Naperville. Now, that is not open to the public, but I just thought I'd mention it because they're at the Naperville Hilton, and I will be doing the talk there. There was an article about the Plainfield thing. I love it when I get my own headline. Radio personality to discuss gardening at Plainfield Library. Honest to goodness, that's what it says in the one of the Trib local papers. It says, radio personality Mike Novak will discuss gardening, environmental issues, and more at 7 p.m. Monday, July 8th at the Plainfield Public Library. According to a library release, the article says, advice will be dispensed in equal parts wit and wisdom. By Novak, who hosts
equal
them.
Parts of wit and wisdom.
No, they're wrong say, about it. I'd say like
maybe a little more wit
than wisdom.
It probably depends on like, what you're talking about.
And some people don't consider what I say witty at all. So maybe it's not even that. And it's part of the Green Village program at the Plainfield Public Library. And you can go to plainfieldpubliclibrary.org to register. It's free. Don't worry about it, folks. It's free. Should have mentioned that earlier. Or you can call 815-436-6639. 815-436-6639. If you miss any of this, you can always shoot me an email, mike@mikenovak.net. And I will let you know. You know, I'm not going to pass up a chance to tell somebody how to get to one of my public events. Certainly wouldn't do that. So I wanted to get that out. And are you speaking other than on the tour this Saturday, you got one of yours coming up, Lisa?
On the 25th, but it's with a private group.
Okay.
So I don't have anything really lined up in the
like
future.
Mine with the Midwest Regional Hosta Society, which is next Saturday. So let's go back to Senor Ricardo Derecho. Hello, Ricky.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry.
I was sharing my bagel with my dog.
Hey, how did your dog survive the 4th of July? Do you have a lot of craziness on the lake there?
Oh, God. He did not like it at all. Matter of fact, Mike, it was still probably about 36 hours later when he was still, walking around. And usually he's about 4 or 5 feet from me on a walk. This time he was about a foot away from me.
Yeah.
And every single little sound, he was like, look up. What's that? Was that? Is that another bottle rocket? Yeah, I really feel bad for dogs this time of the year. And for some reason, I don't know, do cats have the same reactions to fireworks? Do you know about
that? Yeah, my cats were completely freaked out. Normally, when I come in the house, they run to greet me at the door. They claim, because they nap, in the bed, like they climb into the mattress, the box springs. They have their little hammock in the box springs. And they like peeked a head out just to see, like, okay, yes, she's home. And then they darted back in.
Yeah, I know, Lisa. This is terrible for this, you know, for any pet this time of the year.
And it is.
Other than inhaling smoke in the morning while I talk to you, that was a little bit of a breadcrumb that got stuck in my throat. Really, I don't know what to do for dogs this time of year, other than maybe give them a doggy downer or turn loud music on in the house. But
I think that might really be the loud music is probably a good idea, something like that. I mean, I'm sure that we have listeners that will give us that.
Even though it was cool, I should have closed the windows and turned on the air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, just to muffle some of those sounds a little bit and run, some music or, I've got an air purifier that's really loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, anything that helps, I'm sure. But he's still kind of freaked out a little bit, but,
and that was the other thing. It was funny because I posted a Facebook the day after the 4th of July, and I said, survived my least favorite holiday. And it is. It's totally my least favorite holiday.
But fireworks shouldn't make it your least favorite, Mike.
Fireworks do make it my least favorite holiday. That's absolutely.
They're so dirty.
On our block, some years, it looks like it snowed the next morning. There's so much debris. It's true. There's just so much. And everybody I know says their neighborhood's the same. So just imagine how many fireworks going off in the United States. And, you know, I'm cursing Thomas Jefferson for this because he's the one who said in the future we will celebrate the 4th of July with fireworks and blah, blah, blah. And I think, did you really have to say that, dude? Did you really?
I wonder actually how much we helped the Chinese economy because you look
exactly.
at one of those boxes, and it says made in China, made in China, made in China.
Yeah, well, we keep them in business. We keep their whole darn country in business on the one day. and it's just I don't know, you know, there. And I posted on Facebook and I said it survived it. If we put all the money and all the effort we put into fireworks to social good, we would solve all of our problems in about 2 weeks. And I had like immediately 60 responses to it. Yeah. So I hit a nerve, apparently.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But, you know, in the end, the 4th of July, I always look at it as like, you know, it's like two different holidays. It's a holiday for people who just want to blow things off and a holiday for people who go, you know what? This is what really happened on the 4th of July. And this is why our country is what it is. And it's interesting because we were talking about Egypt last hour, but you see those images, and that's probably what parts of the United States, or the colonies, looked like back in 1776, and obviously for, you know, a good solid 12 years after, because I think most people don't realize that even though we signed the Declaration of Independence on that date, we didn't really have a, quote, free country until we actually had a constitution and a president almost 12 years later. And I wish and I hope, Mike, that people really understand that true part of our history of this country. It just didn't happen in 24 hours.
I know, I thought people even thought about that for a second while they're blowing off fireworks, I might have a little more tolerance for that whole thing.
Yeah, maybe it was. Anyway. But the bottom line is the weather held up nicely, didn't it?
The weather was great, and as you say, let's get into that real quickly. We're going to stay in sort of a coolish mode.
Yeah. The thing about it, Mike, is the upper air pattern is still, oddly enough, if you look at the radar, if you happen to be looking at a radar, or you look at the Weather Channel, the local on the 8th, or any local, the showers that developed last night are coming from the northeast. They're not coming from the northwest. And the same upper air low system that actually drifted across the upper Midwest, get this, almost 10 days ago, and that came through our area in about a 2 or 3 or 4 day period of time, drifted all the way to the East Coast, produced a lot of rain out there, and then actually retrograded, which means it moved westward again, and then now it's moving east again. So this whole system is kind of meandering back and forth, and when you have a system like that smack dab in the middle of the country, you get very wet, very continuous, heavy rainfall across the south and southeast, which they've had now for about 4 or 5 days. But what it does is it keeps the warm air, the real hot air, basically out across the western high plains and into the southwest and the Rocky Mountains. And that's been the pattern. Even though we warm up a little bit today and into tomorrow, once again, we go right back into what we call northwest flow. So the upper air jet stream comes in from the north and west. And instead of getting any big heat waves coming in from the south and southwest, we go right back into somewhat modified Canadian polar air as quickly as Wednesday. So that means temperatures dropping back down into the mid-80s, humidity levels coming down a little bit, and it could be a day-to-day threat of a couple of isolated thunderstorms. But by and large, even if we get close to 90 tomorrow, which I'm not thinking we're going to do, we go right back into the 80s. So by this time next week, thinking July 14th, 2013, we'll have two 90-degree days on the docket compared to 27, as I mentioned last hour, 27 up to this point last year. Now, granted, last year was a hot and very, very dry summer. But still, when you look at the comparison from this year to last year, I've never seen two summers back-to-back that are completely different from regard from standpoint of temperature and also precipitation.
That's, yeah. Now, what does, all right, but what we have here is, as you like to say, climate variability.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of climate variability, a lot of rain across the southeast, and a lot of heat out west. And, you know, I'm actually going out to Colorado this coming Tuesday, and we were actually supposed to be going into the southern part of the state, but I canceled those plans due to the fact that they've had a couple of nasty fires south and west of Colorado Springs. I'm going a little bit further north, where they've actually had much more in the way of late-season snow and also early-season rain. So you still look at a map, a drought map of the western United States, driest winter ever in California, one of the driest periods ever in parts of Nevada and Arizona. And, you know, we can't talk more about the tragedy that, that occurred out in Prescott a week and a half ago. But it's amazing, like, that area still is under the gun for extreme heat, extreme dryness. It doesn't look like it's going to go away. My only fear is that typically when you get into these really warm patterns early in the year out west, it eventually moves east. So there's a pretty good chance we can get into maybe the latter half, or I should say the second half of August, with the late season heat wave. So I always say, you know, winter periods, summer periods, you just can't say this is how it's going to be for the rest of the year. It'll probably be this way for the majority of the summer. But as long as you have that bubble of heat out there, it could eventually drift east. It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe the second half of August, things can get pretty sticky around here.
Wow. Okay, real quick, because I've got to get some other stuff going. I haven't heard anything about hurricanes. Why not?
You know what? Right now, Mike, the upper-level winds are just not favorable for that. All across the northern sections of the Gulf of Mexico into the Caribbean, the wind is actually too strong in the upper level. So three things are needed for hurricanes and tropical storms. Warm water, anywhere between 80 and 82 degrees Fahrenheit to a depth of about maybe 100 to about 200 feet. We have that. Low-level winds that actually converge and produce thunderstorms that create a little area of low pressure. We don't have that. And upper-level winds that are very, very light that allows the thunderstorms to vent out, we don't have that. So out of the three main ingredients, we only have one. However, that one ingredient, which is warm water, could go all the way into late August, September, and October. So even though it's been a very, very slow start to the hurricane and tropical storm season, by far, it's not over yet. We can still have a very active season once we get into the second and really the last part of the summer season and early fall.
Okay, Rick DeMaio, give me a real quick forecast for the week.
Yeah, so mostly cloudy day, high temperature, pretty much where we were yesterday, about 85. A slight chance of a couple of thunderstorms this afternoon, coverage maybe 20%, 50% coverage tonight, and about a 60% chance coverage early Monday morning. And then we clear out a little bit. We'll get up to about 89 tomorrow. Very warm and sticky day, but more thunderstorms tomorrow night. And then believe it or not, we cool down, Mike, for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even into Saturday. Best chance of rain probably Monday night into Tuesday. Dry the rest of the week and temperatures near average anywhere between 83 and about 85 degrees. So our temperate summer of 2013 continues until further notice.
That sounds great. You know me. I like the cooler weather. I should be living in Seattle, really. Of course, they've been getting hot this summer, so that wouldn't
be... Yeah, they had a heat advisory for a high of 86 the other day. Go figure, right?
Yikes. Okay. Rick DeMaio, weather, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we will talk to you next week.
Take care, Mike. And Pat will be filling in next week for me. I'll be up and enjoying the mountain air in Colorado.
I kind of wondered about that. All right, Pat Skatch will be with us. And so, Pat, start writing the report right now.
Take care, Mike.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Real quick break, and Snappy J Dog is here from Purple Leaf Farms in the studio with my CSA share. And flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, you get flowers, too.
I know. That's part of the deal.
It is.
But we got to get to Tom Shepard, because I know he's hanging on, and he's got just a little bit of time. But I want to let you know that we just crossed over into July, but there's plenty of gardening season left, mon ami. May we? And you can see that when you stop at Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, in St. John, Indiana. Do you know that they have their own private label potting mix? It's specially blended for their flats, hanging baskets, combination pots, perennials, and more. Allsip wants their customers to use the same soil that their growers trust and believe in. And because it comes in three sizes, you can choose the exact amount you need. So when you pick up some of the annuals that were grown in their own greenhouse and match it with their special potting mix, you have the perfect recipe for success. Get more information at allsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P, nursery.com. Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Allsip, the best of every season. Allsip is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite goof-proof organic fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You can also check us out on our podcasts, which I post every week after the show. And I hope you'll do that if you can't catch the whole show or you can't catch any of it on Sunday morning. But you can also call us at 773-763-9278. And right now we go to the phone lines because I know, Mr. Shepard, you've only got a few minutes here, but we want to get the good word out about your big tour, the Energy Solutions Eco Tour, courtesy of the Southeast Environmental Task Force. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Mike. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Awesome. And let's bring in also Josh Mogerman from the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council. Josh, how are you?
I'm dandy, and I feel even better listening to Tame Impala for the lead-in. That's pretty modern music for your lead-in today.
I, you know what? I go back and forth. I try to be as hip as I can, and then I go retro on you. The next one will be retro. I guarantee it. All right. Let's start with you, Tom, because one of the cool things you're doing is getting folks on these wonderful tours that you have on the South Side. And I say that never having actually been on one, but they just sound awesome. Tell me about what's going to happen next Saturday.
Well, sure, Mike. Thank you very much, and I appreciate all you're doing to help get the word out, and really glad that you connected us with Lisa Albrecht, too, through your program there, because she's going to be one of our guests on the tour, and she's going to talk about solar energy, which is one of the features. Of course, the Southeast Side has traditionally been the armpit of Chicago and has gotten the brunt of all the old type of industries and energy production and a lot of dirty industry and whatnot. And we're hoping to turn the corner now. We're featuring some of the old and some of the new.
And I like the way that you're mixing them up because, as you said, some of the old and some of the new. So, for instance, one of the things you're visiting, and by the way, you can sign up for this tour at Southeast Environmental Task Force. The link is on my website, MikeNovak.net, but you can also go to www.setask, so southeasttaskforce.blogspot.com. Probably the easiest thing is just to go to my my website. Or you can call
Facebook. We'll have it up there.
Yeah, on Facebook. Or you can call Peggy Salazar, 773-646-0436. And you're reducing the ticket price from $35 to $20, and it includes lunch.
It includes lunch at a popular new spot in Whiting, Indiana, home of the Pierogi Fest. Something you probably don't know about, Mike, pierogies.
No. I only if they're homemade, though, I do know about them because that's what happens in my family. But one of the places, so among the places you're going to visit are, you know, it's kind of, as I said on my webpage, from the sublime to the ridiculous. And, you know, one of the ridiculous is the BP refinery. And maybe, Josh, we could start with you a little bit talking about what happens at the BP refinery.
Well, the BP refinery is actually one of the largest tar sands refineries in the world. You and I have talked about this total bottom of the barrel, really, really carbon heavy oil in the past. It's oftentimes called the dirtiest oil on the planet because it's got such high carbon liabilities. So it's a huge problem from a climate change perspective, but from a local perspective, it's been really controversial. And they have just finished up a big expansion and modernization project so that they can use more and more of this dirty oil. And as a result of that, the state of Indiana has given them at least draft permits that would allow them to dump about 18 times the federal standard for mercury directly into Lake Michigan.
Oh, boy. Oh, isn't that lovely? Now, and this is something that's been on the radar screen for a long time. How is it that this happened this way? There were noises about how it was, you know, it was going to be regulated and don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And now we find out, surprise, surprise, that this is going to happen.
Well, it's in Indiana. Is the short answer. The longer answer is, you know, to give BP credit, a lot of your listeners will probably remember 6 years ago, there was a giant uproar over the water permits that were awarded to this refinery. And, you know, I can't remember an issue that has brought up more public anger and a bigger response from our lawmakers than when the initial permits came out 6 years ago. And those permits allowed them to dump huge amounts of ammonia as well as mercury and other pollutants. And so, you know, there is a slight improvement. To BP's credit, the ammonia issue has largely gone away, and they are working with Purdue University and Argonne Lab to put together new technologies to help scrub the mercury out of their water effluent that they dumped into Lake Michigan. But they don't feel that while they think the technology is good, they don't think it's ready to be used on a large scale. And so the state of Indiana has basically said, okay, well, get back to us when you can do it. And in the meantime, keep dumping brain poison into the source of drinking water for millions.
You know, that's what I don't get, is that how we allow any tolerance for that, and saying I don't care, you know, my level tolerance is zero for that, and yet, you know, what have we done? Because in areas like the southern end of Lake Michigan, we took this beautiful pristine ecosystem, one of the rarest on the planet, and basically put up steel mills and factories that just continue to dump stuff. A lot of them have closed. For instance, the State Line generating plant, Tom, that you're going to be visiting, which is a shuttered coal-fired plant. But, you know, I don't understand how we allow this to happen. But as you said, and I'll probably get hate mail for this, Josh, but the answer is Indiana. So there you go. All right, Tom, since I know you've got I got two things. First of all, we're going to give away a couple of tickets to the tour. So please, if you're interested in being on the tour, which starts at 10 a.m. this Saturday, it starts downtown Chicago at the Cultural Center, and it goes till about 2 p.m., and then they'll pick you up and bring you back to the Cultural Center. Here's the question that Lisa came up with. Lisa?
Very quick question.
Well, and the question is, how many homes does the Pullman Solar Array power? Now, have you had something to do with this?
In terms of the installation or anything like that?
Yeah.
No, just cheering on the sidelines, because people say you can't do solar in Chicago. Well, if Exxon built a 10-megawatt plant, we can, because they're not going to waste their money.
So that's the question. If you want two free tickets to the tour this Saturday, the 13th of July, the Energy Solutions Eco Tour, how many homes does the Pullman Solar Array power? I'm not going to narrow it yet. 773-763-9278. We'll give away a couple of tickets. So, Tom, right, before you have to go, tell me where else what some of the other highlights of the tour.
Well, I just want to say, for those that are going to cheat a little bit and Google that for the answer, it is called officially the Sun Power Solar Plant, and it is an Exelon. It was built by Exelon, and it's in West Pullman, actually. It's the largest solar farm in the country, or perhaps in the world. Lisa might know about
Yes,
that.
It is the largest urban solar field in the world, here in
right.
Chicago.
Yes, exactly.
What?
Yes, it's a 10-megawatt field. It's somewhere around 32.
Now, how do you define that? I mean,
Well, it's a single power plant generation. So
okay.
When they, you know,
so it's the largest plant that does this.
It's the largest solar field.
Field.
Yes, in a city.
Most
of the time, okay, you'll see much larger systems or much larger arrays, but though they're in New Mexico, or they're out in public lands, or they're in Spain, or somewhere else in the world. But this is the largest urban.
Okay, 773-763-9278. How many homes does this Sun Power solar plant power in
right.
Pullman?
And that is built on the former International Harvester plant that was out there. It's a brownfield, a polluted site.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. So one of the great things about solar is that it can be placed on land that would otherwise go unused, because we've destroyed it previously from other efforts.
Woo-hoo!
So I know there's a really great one in England, a similar size, where they repurposed a tin mine. Land mm-hmm. that they've completely destroyed from mining practices.
And we're really good at that, by the way.
There's so much land that we have poisoned. So we could actually repurpose that land by putting solar fields there instead. And right now, solar is cost competitive with, in fact, 98% of all new energy that has been produced in 2013 is from clean renewable sources. 98% of all new energy in this country has come from clean sources.
But 98% of all new
energy, right? So anything new onto the grid has come from solar and wind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I mean, where else would it come from?
Well, building a new natural gas plant, building new nuclear.
Right,
so nothing new
is coming
online.
All right. So you're saying that. Okay. Tom, we're talking to Tom Shepard, Southeast Environmental Task Force, Josh Mogerman, Natural Resources Defense Council, of course, our own Lisa Albrecht. So you're going to Testa Produce as well, right?
Right. Now, Testa Produce is an innovative, progressive company that built a new produce distribution place out in the back of the yards area, or the stock yards area, I should say. And they're almost completely off the grid with this new company that they built there. And so it's a very interesting spot. We'll see the largest windmill in Chicago that they have on the property. There's solar panels there. And we're going to see, when we get out to the southeast side, we're going to see what people really didn't know about, more coal than you ever thought existed up in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the BP refinery, we're also getting a new product called petroleum coke, which is one of the final residues from their tar sands operation, and that's being stockpiled also on the southeast side.
Yeah, are you talking about at the site of the Leucadia Gold Gasification Project?
Right. Now, that was stopped last year. They were going to degasify coal, Illinois coal there, and that project did not go forward.
At a really bad rate for the Illinois consumers, right, was, Josh?
Yeah, it was a boondoggle in the very typical Springfield fashion, and thankfully lots of groups in the community unified to push back on that thing, and at least for now it's dead. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it will stay that way.
Well, they have a way of rising up, as I always say, like Glenn Close in the Fatal Attraction from the bathtub, and that's the way our legislature works. And you're so you are going to visit the SunPower Solar Farm in West Pullman. And so what's interesting is, you know, you're showing people tar sands, you're showing them coal, but you're also showing them windmills and you're showing them solar.
Exactly right. And as you pointed out, we'll be on a comfortable coach bus, and we end up out in the Whiting area where we're going to be visiting Bulldog Brewery. And that's one of those new microbrew type places.
Hey, listen, folks, so if you want in on the beer as well, how many homes does the Exelon SunPower Solar Farm in West Pullman power? 773-763-9278. I will say within 100 homes, which gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. 773-763-9278. Tom, do you need to run?
I do. I have to do some prayer work because of you had me. I got the heebie-jeebies from all the earlier talk about the bugs and the diseases, and man, oh man, I'm afraid to eat anything anymore.
Well, I'll let you go, and I'm going to chat just a little bit longer with Josh and Lisa here, and we'll give away those tickets, and then. They'll join you next week.
Thanks, Mike. That's Saturday, July 13th.
And of course, the links are there to the Southeast Environmental Task Force. If you go to my website, mikenovak.net, but you can also go to SE Task Force. I'm always reading this wrong, and I apologize. SETaskForce.blogspot.com.
Right.
SETaskForce.blogspot.com. Tom, we will talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. Josh, you're still with us.
I am.
And I'm glad you are. And Lisa. And I just in a couple of minutes here, I'm kind of interested in NRDC's response to President Obama's speech on climate and energy.
Well, I think, you know, we're waiting to see the specifics of what comes out of it when we see the actual details. But it's exciting for us to see that for one of the things that seems to be a really central part of this is a plan that we actually floated late last year that talks about the president using his Clean Air Act authority to push for significant climate action now without having to rely on Congress to do something. We think that legally there is a ton that he can do that would allow states to move forward, even states like Indiana that are reliant on coal for the vast majority of their energy sector. We see opportunities to dump probably 40% of climate pollution in the coming years, and it's something that the president can do right now, today. A lot of the language in his speech pointed very strongly towards doing that, so we are very hopeful. But overall, I think it was a really stirring, thoughtful speech. You know, I wish we had heard it a couple of years ago, but I'm really hopeful that we're going to be seeing real action very quickly, focusing on renewables, focusing on energy efficiency, and doing what we can to get onto the sort of clean energy future that Tom's tour of the Southeast side is going to be focusing on. You know, it's easy to cruise along the Calumet River and just point to all the dirty things and the bad things. And so I think what's really brilliant about what Southeast Task Force is doing is they're saying, you know, this is the reality right now, but we're already seeing the future. And the future is the largest urban solar array. The future is this really amazing facility that Testa Produce has with a giant vaulted green roof and solar arrays and the city's only real giant wind turbine. It's a really spectacular vision for how we should be moving forward in some of our most blighted areas of the city.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, we mentioned that the BP refinery already handles tar sands crude. So we're very concerned about the Keystone XL pipeline and the damage it might do as it traverses the United States from north to south. But it's already possible we could have that kind of a catastrophe here in our own area.
Is it not? Yeah, you know, all of the issues that we are talking about nationally as it relates to the Keystone XL pipeline are all issues that we need to be focused on here. You know, this area. Chicago,
I mean, look at Kalamazoo. Look at what happened in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, well, you know, we are the epicenter of tar sands refining right now. The point of Keystone XL is to sort of move that down to the Gulf. But about a third of the oil that comes from Canada right now comes through Chicagoland. So all of the, you know, we had just a few weeks after the Kalamazoo spill in 2010, which, by the way, they're still cleaning up. I was in Michigan a couple weeks ago canoeing on the Kalamazoo River, and you can still see oil residue on the banks if you just agitate it a little bit. But just a couple weeks after that spill, that historic spill, don't forget we had one here. We had one out in Romeoville that was smaller and less impactful because the oil was contained in a industrial retaining pond. But all of the issues that we're talking about with Keystone, in terms of pipeline safety, in terms of the damage the tar sands does to the environment, and in terms of real concerns about both air pollution, water pollution, and carbon pollution, those are all things that are really on display for us here in Chicago. And it's not just BP Whiting. It's also the Exxon refinery that you see on I-55, the Citgo refinery in Lamont. There's a lot of tar sands being used in Chicagoland right now.
And that's important for folks to know when they think, well, you know, it's Texas's problem. No, it's not. It's our problem.
Right. And I think that's the biggest myth. You know, people don't realize that it has to get from point A to point B, and we are that path, and that we're a stopping point in the middle, and that although we've been really blessed that we've not had an issue yet, that does not mean it's not our future. And by building, you know, a lot, I think, too, people don't understand that there already is a Keystone. What we're against is Keystone XL. So it's a supersized Keystone. And so the opportunity for more problems in our future is much greater because that new pipeline is going to be massive. And they're finding all kinds of issues with pipelines that have already been laid as part of this that are already cracked, that already have damage, that don't even have oil in them yet. And we're going to keep going down this path?
The first Keystone pipeline terminates here in Illinois.
Yeah.
It goes to the Wood River Refinery, which went through a big expansion, just like BP Whiting, which is across the river from St. Louis. And then it goes to a big giant fuel depot in Patoka, where there's an effort afoot right now to build another pipeline that would go to the Gulf Coast. So all the issues that we are talking about with Keystone are germane to us here in Illinois and something we need to be paying attention to.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's bring in Judith on line one. Judith, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you would like to go on this tour next Saturday?
It sounds interesting.
I think it is. I think it's great. And so how many, I'm going to have you guess, how many homes does the Pullman Solar Array power, and it's actually more precisely called the Exelon Sun Power Solar Farm in West Pullman? What's your guess?
About 10,000.
Okay. It's a little high.
It's a little high.
Bring it down. Give me another guess, a little lower.
750.
750?
Yeah.
All right, now go higher.
Well, 850.
add about 700 to that.
Oh, well, that was my first guess. I said 930, but then I thought, no, I rounded out to 10,000.
you meant to round it to 1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, to 1,000. You know what?
We're off by a zero.
We're going to give it to you. All right. It's actually 1,500.
Yes.
1,500. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it makes you wish there were more.
Yes.
Can I make any money doing that?
Can you?
Only 1,500?
Yes.
Can they?
Yes.
Can
Exelon they? Exelon is making money on it. That was, they actually invested some around $60 million. They got tax credits and things like that to help pay for the system. It's a little high by today's standards. The great thing about investing in renewables is that the more that we spend on it, the cheaper it becomes. So that same system today would cost significantly less. And we also install a little higher in Chicago because we have higher labor rates. But that employed, you know, I think 200 or 300 local electricians doing the installation. It's, as we said before, it helped to convert a brownfield into usable land.
And like you say often, another big myth is that clean energy will cost jobs. It's creating jobs.
Correct.
And it's creating high-tech jobs.
And it's creating good jobs. I mean, these are jobs that, you know, for skills that people are currently not doing because the housing market is slow. And so these are the electricians, the carpenters, the steel workers that, you know, aren't working because we're not building homes. We can put them directly to work building solar. And I think it's, you know, for the folks down south who say, you know, we can't really phase out coal because, you know, so many states rely on it. Well, that reliance has been shrinking and there are more people employed in the solar industry these days than the coal industry. So why not take those life-threatening jobs and instead retrain those guys and let's build some power plants over there?
Well, Judith, you're going on the tour if you want to. So hang on, and I'm going to put you on hold. You talk to Rob and give him your information, and we'll make sure you get those tickets.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Josh, have you and Lisa met before?
I don't know. Lisa, I think, didn't I meet you last time we were...
When you were on the air.
On the phone. Yes.
All right. Well, now you guys are going to be a dynamic duo this Saturday. I think that's another great reason for people to go on this tour is to hear Lisa and Josh.
We can geek out.
I know you guys are going to totally geek out. I'm going to try to be there. It depends, because I got my talk in the evening. It depends whether I can get the work done for the show ahead of time. Anything you want to wrap up with, Josh?
You know, just to follow up on what Lisa was saying, I just drove back to Chicago last night from Springfield, and anybody who hasn't made that trip in the last couple of years, the landscape of Illinois has really been fundamentally changed by wind in the last couple of years. You get about an hour and a half outside of Chicago heading south, and the horizon lights up with blinking red lights for as far as you can see on either side. And
it's
those
amazing.
Are wind turbines. And, you know, those are American jobs. Those are Chicago and American companies. There's a new and very, very easy to see clean energy future if we are willing to work towards it. So I am more hopeful than ever that that's the direction we're going to be moving in.
Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council, always great to have you on the show. Enjoy the tour next Saturday.
Thanks a lot. Looking forward to seeing Lisa, and thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I hope we see each other soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Josh.
Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Oops, turned off my own mic. That's weird. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. You might prefer a natural look, but a tree that has never been pruned may be full of dead wood, diseased or insect-infested wood, crossing branches, or branches with poor structure and arrangement. There are various types of pruning. For instance, cleaning, which removes dead, diseased, or broken branches, and thinning, which is selective pruning used to reduce the density of live branches. Raising is selective pruning to provide ground clearance. Reduction means selective pruning to reduce height and or spread. Restoration is selective pruning to improve the structure, form, and appearance of trees that have been improperly pruned, vandalized, or damaged. If you think your trees could benefit from expert pruning, talk to the certified arborists at the Care of Trees. Here's how you do it. You call 800 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. If you call on Sunday, leave a message and your call will be returned on Monday, guaranteed. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Snappy's farm no more. Told you it was going to be old school coming out of this. And I ain't going to work on Snappy J Dog's farm no more. But I'm glad you are. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was going to say, yeah, it's Jessica's farm, so it's all good over there.
Ah, Jessica's
Everybody
farm.
Everybody wants to work at Jessica's farm.
I think so.
I know I do.
I would.
And you brought in the CSA.
Yes.
My share.
Yes, I'd like to give it to you and have you look through it and
real quick
see all the surprises.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. Ooh, surprises here.
Well, you don't know what you're getting today. I didn't
tell
you.
That's true. Now, just so you know, wow,
a big box of goodies. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So in there today, you've got squash blossoms.
Oh, look at, they're so beautiful.
Yeah, they were all open, all nice and pretty. I harvested this stuff about 8 o'clock this morning, so
oh
it's real
goodness.
Super fresh.
Oh, look at these radishes.
Yep, you got radishes in
okay,
there.
Okay, we had some come up white, and you've got some white here. Do you actually plant those, or do some of them just come up white?
No, this is a mix called Easter Egg Mix. It has a different color radishes.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of round. They look like Easter eggs, like when they're dyed in different colors.
And they're really cool. Okay, what else we got here?
You should have some beets in there.
Oh, I love the beets.
Yeah.
These are pretty. Kathleen's going to appreciate that. We've been fixing beet greens lately.
I was just going to ask if you used greens.
There's the beets and the greens.
And then down here we got kale. I can see.
You got some kale. Yep, beautiful kale.
And some chard.
You got some chard.
We got parsley. Need some parsley.
Parsley. Yep.
I haven't had much parsley and scallions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is great.
Ooh, is that rhubarb?
No,
that's
chard.
Oh, that's the chard.
That's the chard.
I didn't see the
beautiful stems. And then over there, you've got a bouquet of sunflowers, and you also have dill, which is both ornamental and edible.
Look at this. This is just okay. We got to get a photo of this as well. So,
this is the first week of the CSA. Uh-huh. I'm very happy to accept new CSA orders at this point. So if you go to www.purpleleaffarms.com, or you can call me 312-437-7542. Tell me, talk to me about it. I can go through all the different options you have, and I'm more than happy to have new customers. So,
And that's why she's here. Purple Leaf Farms again, 312-437-7542, or go to purpleleaffarms.com. Are you pretty happy with the way things are going at the moment?
Some, yeah. I always kind of freak out between the time I plant the seeds and the time I start doing my first harvest. My first harvest was really last week, so I'm at this point, I just feel really excited that things are actually coming in. And, I mean, of course, there's always things that don't work out. I was doing some of my herbs yesterday. Some of my herbs just died. They're just
gone. It's been so wet. They like it nice and hot and dry.
Well, it's interesting, though, actually, the soil I'm working in. And it's so interesting when you go to different soils from, like, I mean, I live in Forest Park. My farm's out in Elgin.
Yeah.
The soil quality out there is so different. It's much more clay. It's also a lot drier. And whether or not it rains out there on my little plot, I mean, it can rain a mile down the street where the weather station is, but it doesn't rain on my plot. So it's been really interesting to kind of get used to those new conditions. But, yeah, I'm having a great time this year.
Oh, this is so cool, and I'm glad. I just wish you the best success, and I'm so glad that you're part of the show and that we can help out. And again, Jessica has shares available. And where are you off to today? Are you dropping some of the shares off?
Well, I'm going to go visit the Garfield Park Farmers Market. So over at Garfield Park Conservatory, they have a farmers market. I think it's like 11 to 4 p.m. Yeah. A lot of people don't even know it's there. I don't sell there. I might start. Who knows? I don't really know yet. But I'm just gonna I'm gonna go visit another farmer who's buying some produce from me. So that's what I'm off to today.
Okay, great. All right, and Kathy McGlynn is hanging on the phone. We're gonna get to her in just a second and find out what a hydrilla is and why you should fear it.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the Greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
We all love a good garden tale, don't we, mateys? Arr, so put your feet up on the coffee table and let me tell you the story of Captain Jack's dead bug brew. Now, where did this remarkable potion come from? A fermenting bacterium, which is found in only one place in the whole world. That's right, me sweeties. The ruins of a rum distillery in the Caribbean. All right, enough of that. This bacterium was discovered in 1983, and the insecticide was developed for widespread use in agriculture, where growers wanted a natural way to control many insects on both ornamental and edible crops. Captain Jack's products are available from Bonide in a number of consumer-friendly formulations, concentrate, ready-to-use, ready-to-spray, and in a dust. You heard about some of the great Bonide products earlier in the show when Jennifer Brennan and I were talking with Dr. Wally from Bertolt's Garden Center. Make sure you always read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, Alsip Home and Garden in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John's, Indiana. As I said, Bertolt's Garden Center in Oak Grove, Elk Grove Village, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. And by popular request, we return to... And folks were wondering what this song is. It's called Elephant by Tame Impala. All right. Or Tame Impala. T-A-M-E-I-M-P-A-L-A. Elephant is the name of the song. You know, I'm keeping people hip on this show 24 hours a day. Actually, 2 hours a Sunday. Let's go to the phones and Kathy McGlynn. How are you, Kathy?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Great. Kathy is from the... Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership, or NIIPP. You can find the information on my website, MikeNovak.net. All right, briefly, tell me about hydrilla. What the heck?
Well, it's recently been invading the northern U.S., and it's been found in New York, in Maine, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, and it's coming our way.
And it's
we're asking, sorry?
It's an aquatic plant, right?
It is an aquatic invasive plant, and we're asking folks to keep a lookout at local lakes, ponds, and rivers, especially rivers, because it's most difficult to control there.
Yeah.
Our plan is if we catch it early before it's established, we can eradicate it very easily before it gets very expensive to take care of. We end up just managing it.
Is there, you know, like a lot of invasives, they just sort of pop up and show up. How, is there any way to really control this?
There is to some degree. A lot of it's transported on boat trailers and fishing equipment and scuba gear and recreational water vehicles overall. And in some cases, it's also been accidentally included in some aquatic plants that were purchased for ornamental purposes.
Yep, they always are. Isn't that always how that happens?
Yeah. So we're just asking people to just take precautions and be aware of the issue.
And they can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, click on, well, there's pictures. It says click here to see images so you can identify the plant. The scary thing is the two pictures you gave me of hydrilla and the same hydrilla 18 days later. Oh, my goodness. That is scary stuff.
Yeah. And we don't know a whole lot about the current biotype in the northern part of the U.S., but we know the one in the southern part of the U.S. Florida has issues they've had for the last 50 years. And
yeah.
They're only hoping to manage it, and they usually cost them about $30 to $40 million a year to do that.
Wow. All right. Well, I always appreciate you giving us these heads up. And go to my website and drop by the website for the Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership. Join the hydrilla hunt. Be on the lookout. Kathy, we will talk again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. And the theme I was going to have underneath, we missed it. We'll play it again next time. Meanwhile, at the end of the show, everybody turn their mics on. We say go green or
go home.